Hello, everybody. Those who might be listening to the recording, glad you can join us on this 20th or 19th or whenever you might be listening to it of July 2023. Are we here today in Australia, Western Australia? Glad you could join us and meet up. Let us see. I'd like to share a small story with you all before we start. A young Indian asked a missionary, "What must I do to be saved?" Wow. The missionary patiently listened to his questions, explained the gospel in great detail. He told the story of Nicodemus. Like Nicodemus, the young man just didn't get it no matter what he said. Excuse me. Now, of course, Nicodemus did understand later on. Suddenly, the missionary grabbed the young man, and I certainly don't recommend this as a missionary, but for any of us, the missionary grabbed the young man, threw him down the bank of the Ganges River, held him underwater for a little while. The young man struggled. Finally, the missionary pulled him up out of the water. The young man spluttered and yelled, "What did you do that for?" The missionary replied, "When you want salvation as much as you wanted air, you will find it." There's a strong element of truth to that. Jeremiah faced a situation where whatever God tried, his people rebelled. They mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16, NKJV. What would you do? God permitted his people to be taken captive 70 years in Babylon, but he gave them a promise. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." Jeremiah 29:13-14. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we are saved. God saves you by his grace when you trust him. And we can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, or workmanship. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Ephesians 2 verses 4, 5 and 8 to 10. Bit of a different version then, the NLT. Well, I've got a song. We're up to the song In Christ in Song, a song we all know, I believe. And I must say, it was a bit of a relief to see that we all knew it. Shall you? Shall I? I sung this song over my dear mum's, in my dear mum's room. After her death, very moving it was. I'll just see if I can get it to go where I need it. Okay, there we go. Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I. Okay. Someone will enter the pearly gates by and by, by and by. Taste of the glories that there await. Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I. Someone will travel the streets of gold. Beautiful visions will there behold. Feast on the pleasures so long foretold. Shall you, shall I, shall you, shall I.
Someone will gladly his cross lay down by and by, by and by. Faithful approved shall receive a crown, shall I. Someone the glorious king will see, ever from sorrow of earth be free, happy with him through eternity. Shall I.
Someone will knock when the door is shut, by and by, by and by. Hear a voice saying, I know you not. Shall I? Someone will call and shall not be heard. Vainly will strive when the door is barred. Someone will fail of the saints' reward. Shall I?
Someone will sing the triumphant song, by and by. Join in the praise with the blood-bought throng, shall I. Someone will greet on the golden shore, loved ones of earth who have gone before, safe in the glory forevermore. Shall I?
Amen, amen. How quite fitting. We talked about the pearly gates from Revelation chapter 21. And that precious thing, precious commodity, that precious God-given free will says to us, shall you, shall I? Shall I be there or shall I not? God is voting for us. The devil is voting against us. The remaining vote and the side that we end up on is up to us. Let's have a word of prayer before we start our Revelation study. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for another week on this planet and the opportunity to get to know you better through human relations, which are an inkling of the manifold love shown us in the gospel. It is true. It's not too good to be true. It's beyond good. And it's beyond true, if I can say that, in the sense that it's from eternity. Your love is an everlasting love toward us all. And it's all true and much more. And we'd like to learn more about it now and in our private studies and our prayerful looking up, believing that you have a plan for each of our lives that will glorify you in allowing you to fulfill it in us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to make this actually possible. Just like Holy Spirit, you are involved in the creation of this world, including human beings. And you're involved in recreating human beings that marred this wonderful earth that came from the Holy Creators. We ask that you will help our dear brothers and sisters and others, for that matter, that perhaps are not used to, you know, our dear brother Bob's website being down this long, that they will, no contacts will be lost. Connections will continue to be made, even if it's just simply by email. And especially that every different circumstance, whether it be brethren and sisters looking for part-time work because they need to support the ministry that they're part of, that you've called them into, that they will continue to be faithful, and you will help us all see, not by sight but by faith, the providence of God going before us, that it may be seen that you really are real, and we can deny it all we want, but that won't deny your providential love and care, not only for your children, but for the lost who are going against themselves and is really hurting themselves and everyone else by going against the truth. Thank you for showing us sin has an end. Death has an end. It's going to end up in the lake of fire that will go out, and the saved lived on a renewed earth and heaven forevermore. Bless us as we seek light from above, believing that light is near to each of us, as we trust not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are, Revelation chapter 21. We're nearly at the end of the second last chapter of the Bible. And last week, we looked at the fact that the apostle informs us he sees no temple in verse 22. And then he states, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. But in this same chapter, we also found that he heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, and that was the holy city, the New Jerusalem, that has the Garden of Eden in it, of God is with men, and he will dwell them, because God will be in it, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. So it brings out, John brings out that whole precinct called the New Jerusalem, regardless of tabernacle, because God's presence is there. And we also found that, although you probably all knew it, there is another temple, tabernacle also. And that is brought out in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. Revelation 3:12, and then another quote from Revelation 7:15 we looked at, therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Revelation 7 verse 15. So that's some of the things we looked at last week, with some interesting spirit of prophecy quotations. And now it takes us to verse 23. And who would like to read that for us and have any comments, questions, insights they'd like to share?
And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof.
Amen. Wow. That's exciting. That's literal. So we have light-giving bodies will not be imperative for the illumination of the city. The glorious effulgence of the presence of God will give more than sufficient light. We're told, for instance, in Isaiah 60, verses 19 to 20, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. End of quote. Material things are not indispensable in God's plan. In his presence, they are put to shame. Isaiah tells us in chapter 24, verse 23, then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. End of quote. Created light cannot outshine the uncreated glory of the divine presence. Now that's interesting. So we're told that there's no night there. And here's a quote from Smith, Uriah Smith, from Daniel and Revelation, pages 767 to 768. In fact, I better put it in the room so you can follow with me. That will make it much easier for you all. Just put it in the room. Big hugs to you too, dear sis and everyone. Glad you could join us. So he wrote this, I think a very interesting insight. He says, it is in the city alone, probably, that there is no night. There will, of course, be days and nights in the new earth, but they will be days and nights of surpassing glory. The prophet, speaking of this time, says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Wow. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Isaiah 30, verse 26. But if the light of the moon in that state is as the light of the sun, how can there be said to be night there? Answer, the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, so that although the night is as our day, the day will be sevenfold brighter, making the contrast between day and night there as marked, perhaps as at the present time, but both will be surpassingly glorious. End of quote. Interesting insight. Now, talking about light, in the first creation, the light appeared before the appearing of the sun and the moon. In the new creation, or in the making of all things new, the glory of God expands to eclipse any other material source of light. God's light shines through Christ. Now, it also brings out this verse that there are no shadows in the New Jerusalem. You certainly get that impression throughout Revelation chapter 21. So you've got those big walls we talked about, 64 meters high, 210 feet high. And yet, perhaps because of the material it's made out of being translucent, its ability to leave a shade, a huge shade, it would appear does not exist because it's all light and bright. Which brings me to a comment, well, not a comment, but a quote from the Bible. And it's Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and I'll put it in the room. And we're told, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. End of quote. Now, something about this, you've probably all seen it. Maybe you can even pick out more features. We have here, we have time in the beginning brought out. And that's, of course, in relation to the earth. There was time before the earth, but in the beginning of where you and I and what concerns us, here above, we have time in the beginning. Space and dimension created the heaven and the earth. Motion, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and power. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So, in the beginning, light is created before the sun on day 4 of creation week. The active agent in creating is the Holy Spirit, the creator of the lights of day 4 and the light on day 1. Now, I couldn't find anything what happened to that light of day 1, day 2, day 3. But we know the Holy Spirit was behind its existence. And isn't it interesting when we look at Revelation 21 and 22, it doesn't specifically state the Holy Spirit is there. And yet we know without the Holy Spirit, you and I can't be converted. We can't be convicted of sin. We can't wear the righteousness of Christ. And of course, not only is the Holy Spirit used in our redemption, but in creation. And I would add recreation right now and recreation of the heavens and the earth. So could it be that the Holy Spirit's represented by light, although the Holy Spirit's not a created being? Let there be light, but he's the active agency in causing this. And I don't know if anyone finds or has already found something, what happened to that light of day 1, day 2, day 3? It would be interesting to know. I could not find anything. I did find a little bit, this comes from Christ Object Lessons, page 415. She says, Christ, the outshining of the Father's glory, came to the world as its light. He came to represent God to men, and of him it is written that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power and went about doing good. Acts 10, verse 38. In the synagogue at Nazareth, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, etc. And that's a quote from Luke 4, 18 and 19 in Prophets and Kings. I said Christ Object Lessons, didn't I? Must be something that she says. I've jumped up. He causes the light to shine out of darkness, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. When the earth was out, I should put this in the room. It's much easier to follow for you. All right, here we go. So here's a quote from Christ Object Lessons. Would someone like to read it? Christ Object Lessons, Prophets and Kings, and then I think there's a small quote just at the end, and I've just bolded a particular point in it. But would someone like to read it for us?
He causes the light to shine out of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. When the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1, 2, and 3. So in the night of spiritual darkness, God's word goes forth, let there be light. To his people, he says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 1, Christ Object Lessons 4:15, paragraph 1. Behold, says the scripture, The darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 2. Christ Object Lessons 4:15, paragraph 2. Christ, the outshining of the Father's glory, came to the world as its light. He came to represent God to men. And of him it is written that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good. Acts 10:38. In the synagogue at Nazareth, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set them at liberty, them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke 4:18-19. This was the work he commissioned his disciples to do. "Ye are the light of the world," he said. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. Prophets and Kings 7:18, paragraph 1. "Let there be light," yes, light, "in your dwellings. For this we need to pray. The Holy Spirit shining upon the sacred page will open our understanding that we may know what is truth." Testimony, is it ministers? Okay. Praise the Lord for giving us understanding about the light and the Holy Spirit and how to read the Bible. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that was page 112, the last one. I think you can see here the spiritual application she makes. "Let there be light," and the Holy Spirit shines upon the sacred page. That's a spiritual application. It is interesting, isn't it, that we got three features that seem to shine forth in Revelation 21. And that is the Father's there, the Son is there, and light is there. And of course we know the Holy Spirit is from eternity. He's distinct and separate from the Father and the Son. And, this is one of the reasons looking into this. Very interesting. Of course, it's the name of Brother Bob's, dear Bob's, ministry, "Let There Be Light." The first words of God that are recorded in the Bible, "Let There Be Light." Well, fitting term and name after God's own words. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share at all, or ask any questions or any insights? I've got a couple of quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy to add to this, but is there anything anyone would like to share?
Yeah, if you bring back up Revelation 21:23. Please. So in the verse, I mean, you mentioned it before, but in the verse, it talks about the glory of God did lighten the city, and the Lamb, or Jesus, is the light thereof. So we know that Jesus is the light of men. We see that there's the glory of God there, but where's the Spirit? And for those who understand that you have God and you have the glory of God, and that glory is a symbol or represents the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible brings out that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of glory in one of the passages. So we actually see all three there. And you brought that out already. We have God. We have the glory of God represented by the Holy Spirit. And the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, is the light. So you have all three of the Godhead right there in that verse. But many people only see two. And they want to deny that the Spirit is there or had any part in that particular text or in the beginning of creation or at any point. But when you understand that the Spirit is connected with the glory of God, it opens your understanding to see more clearly His involvement from the beginning.
Amen, bro. Well put. Well said. Yeah, it's amazing the power of one verse can eclipse for people, dear souls, the hundreds of verses that clearly represent the Holy Spirit as eternal as the Father and the Son. I was just trying to bring up looks like I can't do that with ease. Just going to bring out something. Okay. There we go. I was working on something. I tracked on God who, how many gods are there? And it's quite easy to find the Godhead in the Bible specifically stating the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. And the divinity of Christ in the Bible, the eternity of Christ in the Bible, the humanity of Christ in the Bible, and the divinity and personality of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. There's actually more quotes than that, but it's so significant. And there's more that could be given, but it's just the specifics. It's enormous. It's not hard to find, but it is with a closed mind and a willingness to hang around one verse, which actually, as Brother Bob just shared, if you look at that glory of God quote, you can look at it from that. That one person says, oh, yes, but it says light in it, and the light thereof is the lamp. So there's only two. I only count two, but the glory of God is representing the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, that's true, and it was the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, and the Holy Spirit had everything to do with creation and has everything to do with recreation. We need the Holy Spirit. And it's a fearful thing to think we can go without it. Because who are we really trusting when we say that? That it's just a power, it's just a force. You know, it's not someone that can convict me. It's not someone that can convert me. It's just that thing over there. Silly. Well, where are we? Okay, so I'm there. So, let's see. Better find. Okay, so I've got a couple of quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy. There's one and two quotes. And would someone like to read it for us all? Let's put it in the room. There we go.
All eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Only through his word can a knowledge of these things be gained, and even this affords but a partial revelation. The prophet of Patmos thus describes the location of the school of the hereafter. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:1-2. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 21:23. Between the school established in Eden at the beginning and the school of the hereafter, there lies the whole compass of this world's history. The history of human transgression and suffering, of divine sacrifice, and of victory over death and sin. Not all the conditions of that first school of Eden will be found in the school of the future life. No tree of knowledge of good and evil will afford opportunity for temptation. No tempter is there. No possibility of wrong. Every character has withstood the testing of evil, and none are longer susceptible to its power. To him that overcometh, Christ says, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:7. The giving of the tree of life in Eden was conditional, and it was finally withdrawn. But the gifts of the future life are absolute and eternal. And that was from Education, pages 301 and 2. The next quote. But the Jewish leaders were unchanged by the events they had witnessed. Their hatred of Jesus had not abated. The darkness that had mantled the earth at the crucifixion was not more dense than that which still enveloped the minds of the priests and rulers. At his birth, the star had known Christ and had guided the wise men to the manger where he lay. The heavenly hosts had known him and had sung his praise over the plains of Bethlehem. The sea had known his voice and... just one second. Sorry about that. The sea had known his voice and had obeyed his command. Disease and death had recognized his authority and had yielded to him their prey. The sun had known him and at the sight of his dying anguish had hidden its face of light. The rocks had known him and had shivered into fragments at his cry. Inanimate nature had known Christ and had borne witness to his divinity. But the priests and rulers of Israel knew not the Son of God. And that was from Desire of Ages, page 769 to 770.
Wow. Powerful. Powerful indeed. Thank you, bro. Well, shall we go to the next verse? And would someone like to read that to us all?
And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it.
Amen. Thank you, bro. So we have here a description of the redeemed from all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, something that's mentioned in relation to the last message of mercy, and also mentioned in Revelation 7 verse 9 and Isaiah chapter 60 verses 3 and 5. It mentions kings here, as dear Bob just read. The picture would be drawn probably from the Old Testament, Isaiah 60 verse 11, very similar wording. And you know, and do you notice here, and the nations of them, now I would suggest that's individuals which are saved. We are saved as individuals, not nations, denominations, organizations, etc., but as individuals, which we actually come from, a nation, obviously, nation of Australia, nation of America, nations, but will be, as it were, you know, when we think about Israel, spiritual Israel, we're one nation, but there are our experiences from different nations that we've come from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people, that we've been saved by the grace, the same grace that every human being needs. And that's comforting to know that. It's not one law for these people and another law for that people. It's universal. Because God's love is universal for us all. I have a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy I'd like to share with you. It's from, I think it's the manuscript number 20, November 25, 1888. And it says the following. I think she obviously quotes something from Revelation, what we're looking at right now. And she says, I was in England at the time of the Queen's Jubilee, Queen Victoria's Golden Jubilee in 1887. Her picture was in all the windows, upon paper, upon glass, on everything. Everything was done to keep her in the memory and thoughts of the people. Such parades, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, we probably say millions and millions and millions of dollars today, expended upon that occasion. Why? The people paid dollars just for a place to sit in the windows and see the parade. $200 or $300 paid for a position in a window to see the Queen. I was right there in London when this excitement took place. That would be her first year when she went to Europe. She was there for 2 years. When this excitement took place, it made me sad. They had the right to do this. But I thought, here we are looking for the Lord to come in the clouds of heaven. Do we keep him in mind? If we really believe in Jesus, if we really believe in his coming, if we are abiding in Christ, we shall not be complaining about every little cross. We shall be thinking of what Christ our Savior has done in our behalf. As we look at the cross of Calvary, our petty vexations will vanish from sight. Why should we not as Christians lift him up, the man of Calvary? Why, Christ laid aside his robes of glory, and for our sakes, he became poor. He was rich, and he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. That sacrifice will be lost to us unless we lay hold upon Christ by faith. We have no righteousness of ourselves at all. All the prophecies show us that the end of all things is at hand. Let us be getting our hearts right before God. There is a life beyond, an eternity, a life of happiness. No death can enter there. There will be no malarial taint there, no sickness or pain or sorrow. Do you not want to be there? The streets are paved with gold, and you will see the King in his glory. I must be there. I must see the King in his majesty. Don't lead people to believe they can go there and take their sins right along, the characters must be changed here. We must learn to sing the songs of redemption here, if we ever sing the songs of redemption in heaven. Sing of God's goodness. Talk of his power. And that's from Manuscript 20, November 25, 1888, called A Good Sermon. Yes, it was a good sermon. It was a good sermon indeed. Now here, I've got some parallels here, happening here, and it's not very clear, but I think I can understand, and hopefully you'll be able to read with us. There's parallels between Isaiah 60 and Revelation chapter 21 verse 22. It says, although we're not actually at that verse, but I think it's related to this verse as well, that we're up to. We're told in Isaiah 60, thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, verse 11. You wonder where John gets many of his terms, right? He says in verse 25, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Okay, so we're not up to verse 25, but Isaiah 60, it says that men may bring to thee the forces, margin, wealth of the Gentiles or nations, verse 11, that their... Yeah, and in Revelation 21, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, verse 26, I think. Isaiah 60, that their kings may be brought, verse 11, Revelation, that kings of the earth do bring their glory into it, verse 26. Isaiah, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting or destruction within thy borders, verse 18. The Revelation, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither pain. Verse 4. There shall be no more curse. Chapter 22, verse 3. From Isaiah, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light to thee. Verse 19. The Revelation, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Verse 23. Isaiah, the Lord shall be to thee an everlasting light, and thy God the glory. Verse 19. Revelation, the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. End of quote. Isaiah, the day of thy mourning shall be ended. Verse 20. Revelation, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Verse 4. Trying to look up. Okay. Isaiah, thy people shall be all righteous. Verse 21 of Isaiah 60. From a Revelation, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither abomination or makes a lie. Verse 27. And the last one from Isaiah, they shall inherit the land forever. Verse 21 and Revelation 22 verse 5. The saints shall reign forever and ever. And that's from a pastor called Cook. Don't know when he did that, but very interesting connections there. Does anyone have anything to share on what we've looked at so far today, tonight?
It's going to be wonderful at that time.
I like the evidence of agreement between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's great.
Amen. Yeah, you look at that and you think, wow, that's where John had a very great understanding of the Old Testament. It's the only Bible he had. And of course, as time went on, he would have been one that was blessed with all the letters, the epistles, and of course his own, and the gospels, that just must have, you read it. I remember before I became, a Christian, I think it was a friend was saying, I wonder how they know all that. And one of the reasons was because they were reading the Bible prayerfully. And then another thing was they were really helped with the spirit of prophecy in many ways as well, in helping them reference things from the Bible and better understand those references, you know, like a magnifying glass, if you will. Not changing the import of it, but just magnifying it, like each prophet does. It reminds me of a woman, and she was an SDA for 20 years. Her name's Dasenka. And she left, and she knew I wasn't part of it, but she didn't understand what was I part of. So she even asked me, are you still an SDA? Because you talk about the spirit of prophecy. And so I'm asking. And I said, no, I'm not an SDA, but I do believe in the gift of the spirit of prophecy because that's biblical. And she rang me not long ago after my mum died, and we talked a bit, and she was sharing that she thought that the spirit of prophecy, what is, are you saying she's the Holy Spirit? I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. She's not the Holy Spirit, but inspired by it, yes, having that gift. And she said, but what's the, I think we just need the Bible. We don't have to confuse things and that. You know, this is an SDA of 20 years. She's no longer one. And she said she started comparing the spirit of prophecy with the Talmud. I said, oh, is that fair? Is that fair? Is that a fair balance? Like, the Talmud denies Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Did Ellen White do that? I don't think so. I said, you know that. You know that more than me. And I said, so that's not fair. But she said, it's just statements. And I said, but did you know the Bible is the spirit of prophecy? And thankfully, she said, yes, I did. And I said, that's good. Thank you, Dasenka. I appreciate your honesty. And so it's true. You know, we're going through Prophets and Kings with Dear Bob on Sabbath. And there's a particular quote that brings out that the Father says a specific quote in the Old Testament. And it becomes apparent that the Holy Spirit is referred to as Christ's spirit, and also you could say the Father's spirit, because he's used to communicate to human beings. Sometimes it's direct, like Jesus is the great I am talking directly, but the Holy Spirit's still present, especially, of course, giving the Ten Commandments so the people can understand it, so they can hear. I mean, how are we living? Oh, well, I just made myself live by myself. Really? Didn't you come from your mum? And how did mum get here? Wasn't it from her mum? And so it goes on all the way back to the beginning. I love that about the Bible. God doesn't leave out anything that we need to know, that is obvious questions that we're all going to ask ourselves throughout life. And especially dealing with the things that matter most. And that's very comforting to know. That's what we find, everything we need. A lady once said, and I thought she was joking, she said to me, she didn't say to me, she said to a whole congregation when I was in SDA many years ago, she said, it's not like we're given directions how to bring up our children. And she had the Bible in her hand. I thought she was about to say, not, here it is. But that's how she said it. And I thought, and Lucy's not here, but you know, wonderful helps in the spirit of prophecy helps you understand the Bible better, because the Bible was the guide, was the book of educating your children, bringing them up, etc., in the nurture and admonition of the law. And of course, the spirit of prophecy books help you do that by an experienced sister who had children, who had foster children, who was a living Christian, who happened to have the gift of the spirit of prophecy. It definitely helped. But of course, the Bible is the foundation of it all. I got a comment in the room. I hopefully can read it. John, an exile to the Isle of Patmos, had the time to rest in God and the Holy Spirit, had unlimited access to his time and memory. The result? Millions of followers have been inspired by the revelations. Praise the Lord. Amen. Indeed. Well, perhaps we'll leave it there for this week and pick it up at verses 25 and 26. I think we're going to reach the end of the chapter, and it'll be so sad to leave it, but at least we can always go back to it with the help of having our own Bible, and looking forward to doing that and reaching chapter 22 as well. It gets exciting. It always brings out different themes connected with the main theme, and I'm looking forward to that. Are there any testimonies, any prayer requests, any songs, anything anyone would like to share with us all?
I was thinking about John. It might have looked pretty dark for him when he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But there on that island, he had the time and he had the memory for the Holy Spirit to really give him a sight of heaven. And the fact that he was there and wrote about it has inspired millions of people, has helped their understanding and their wanting to be a part of that beautiful land called heaven.
Amen. And what keeps coming back to me is God's statement that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of mankind the things that God has waiting for the redeemed. So you can stretch your imagination to the greatest extent in imagining the happiness and the glory and the joy and the beauties there, and that's going to fall far short of what's really there. So if you can picture yourself the happiest that you can possibly be, it's going to be even greater than that. And yeah, it's going to be amazing. But of course we have to view that with the eye of faith, because when we look all around us, I mean, we can find beautiful things, but there's also a lot of evil things that bring us down. But God is in control. And so if we're faithful, we have that glorious reward awaiting us. And we don't deserve any of it. But out of love, God developed a plan, Christ carried it out, and the Holy Spirit makes it effectual in our hearts. That's perfect. We just have to comply and follow, and it's ours. I mean, it's amazing to think about.
On this earth, we have some amazing things in nature. And one of the advances of mankind is the computer and the amazing things that you can do with a computer. My hairdresser was telling me about Azelle, that she has two grandchildren, and she gave them each $500 for Christmas. And they asked her, "Grandma, can you Zelle this over to us?" And with a couple of taps on her iPhone, she was able to take it out of her bank account and put it in theirs. And she not only did that, but a little bell rang in her grandchildren's iPhones telling them that that money was there in their account. I thought that was, when she said sell, I didn't even know what that meant, but they not only have it, they have special names for it. It's amazing. Heaven is so much better than that.
Yeah, good points. Great points. Gives you a lot to look forward to, doesn't it? And to think that whatever you do learn, it's going to be continuous. It's going to be increasing. And our love, of course, for the Godhead will grow with the knowledge. I was blessed to... I ended up... Obviously, Lucy was with me for the memorial for Mum on Sunday. And we were... 15 minutes before it started, we were aiming to have it earlier, but my dear sister, she decided to change the eulogy. And I was reading and I noticed she took a few things out that I said and she inserted something she said, and I thought, I talked to God about it, I thought, I'll leave in what she shared, slightly change the way she's put that, because it sounds like... That would be hard for me to say that because it wouldn't be quite accurate. And I still left some of the things that she took out. Wasn't much, but I get. And so, I ended up there and got to have prayer, got to read the eulogy and got to read the tribute. With the help of Lucy and a friend, they put the tracks out with me and the flyers in front of the tracks and the booklets. We decided to put both out. That is Death to Be Feared and What Really Happens at Death. Looks like a number of them went, which was great. And I got to talk to, obviously, family and people I haven't seen in years. And I was really glad. I think the microphone system wasn't working the greatest, but I think you could still hear. So, and some of them told me that they could. So I had some interesting conversations. I'm so glad we could have that peaceful closure to my mum. And I hope the dear souls that heard us realize that it's really true. Mum's really at rest, to be sure, but death and sin has been conquered, and his name is Jesus Christ, who's done it. And I did get to share, you know, a couple of things that, in relation to exhorting them to trust their lives with Jesus and to not be a mourner without hope, because that is a terrible way to go about it. Not saying I'm going to see my mum again, but I'm trying to encourage them because all of them have lost someone, most likely. All of them, a lot of them were older than me. They've all lost loved ones, and they're thinking of them that. I don't know their history, but, you know, there's nothing that answers for that, you know, that loss, that part of your heart that's now, you know, you feel like is gone in death and to the community in the world when a loved one dies. And so I hope it inspires them to realize, if this is all true, what have I got to lose? And of course the answer is your sins. But if you're honest with yourself, they're the very things that have been causing your misery, the shame, and ultimately the wages being, you know, eternal death. I mean, we're going to die anyway. That's true. Adam's sin and Eve's, we've got that nature that we die, but we'll one day have to pay for that if we don't let Jesus pay for it now while we're alive on our probationary time. So I'm really glad I got to be heard, and, Lord willing, I'll spend some time with family soon as well. Thank you for keeping it in prayer. Your prayers have been answered. I have been helped, and the future just keeps looking brighter. I do have a prayer request for dear Lucy. She's not able to drive. She's got the sad, I think we already shared that with you, but she's not allowed to drive at the moment until further notice. So she's not mobile as much, and she hasn't been that great on her legs and feet, but she is getting better, which I'm so glad to hear her doing that. And we can order, you know, groceries and that and get it delivered to us. So that's easy. I can do that on my end. I'm not around the corner from her, of course, about 50 Ks away. But she will appreciate that. And thank you for keeping her in prayer that, she just gets very anxious at times. And, I'm not sure why she's not here. She might be, maybe her alarm didn't go off. Maybe just as like Brother Dick. Maybe I know it's late for Brother Dick, of course, as well, or his internet down. And, yeah, I will send her hugs. I'll ring her. I'll see if she's awake. I'm a bit afraid to wake her actually, but she tells me, your thought for the day woke me. I said, yeah, I didn't want to forget you, you see. So I sent it about, you know, that time of the morning. Thank you for keeping it in prayer. We, let's keep looking up together. Why don't we have a word of prayer, a season of prayer? If anyone's impressed to pray, please feel free to do so, and I'll go last.
Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for all of the beautiful blessings you send to us, for the strength and love to hold us over the distressing times. Thank you for being a God who cares, who answers our prayers. Thank you to the Holy Spirit for being around and for helping us understand and for opening up our eyes and ears to new blessings. Be with Lucy. Give her joy in her heart. Help her to navigate through the spaces and to keep looking up. Be with all of our church family, our extended family, and give them peace and the hope that comes with believing in Jesus. And thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings of waking up this morning and being able to enjoy the beauty of your nature and the solidarity of your words. Thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're in control of all things. Thank you that your timing is perfect. Thank you for giving us the extra grace and strength to be patient, to not run ahead of your will, and forgive us where we have. Pray that you will continue to work in our lives with the goal of heaven and eternity with you. And thank you that we don't have to bear the burdens of all the different issues and situations taking place, but we can lay them at the feet of our Savior. And out of great love for us, he carries them. And the outcome is the best possible. Help us to learn more and more how to rest in his love for us and our love for him. And thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world and going home. And dear Spirit, we thank you also for being the comforter, for reproving and correcting us, for encouraging us to continue to wait on the Lord and for giving us the wisdom to know what we need to do as our part, and then what God needs to do as his part, and to know the difference. Thank you that the Sabbath is soon to come, and help us indeed to allow Jesus to reign in our hearts, that we might be with him each day and not just wait until the Sabbath comes to be with him. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
And precious Father in heaven, thank you for shared time with dear brothers and sisters in the faith. We always need it, and just like we need fresh air, thank you for making the internet possible to continue to allow us to enjoy religious and civil liberties, though we see preparations being taken to take all of them away. Thank you for extending probation for ourselves and for the world, and giving us the answer, why, giving us an understanding, something more of your love, and giving us the explanation and the answer to the world's problems in the man the world needs most. Thank you for showing us the deceptions and the ways in which the devil works. A fallen angel who causes people to believe on a large scale that he's an ugly looking sort of ferocious, you know, unimaginable creature really, but nothing could be further from the truth. Please help dear souls, even though they don't realize the Holy Spirit's working on their minds and hearts, realize there are reasons why things happen and they hear things and their lives are interrupted by different events and words that are spoken to them or even a tract that's given them which has present truth in it or the gospel as well, etc., that might realize the truth is so different from error, and error tends to take truth to try to win souls to it, to attract it, so they can deceive and bring them into the error. And that's how the devil works. And we're grateful you've revealed this time and again. And we don't want to be fooled. And we thank you for showing us, Holy Spirit, our weaknesses, because in doing so, you show us Jesus and his strengths all round. His victories that we so much need constantly. And thank you, Jesus, for making it a real event and promising to abide in every willing heart, not unwilling heart, but every willing heart. May our willingness increase as we trust that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us and guide us into all truth, everything we need, and will show us things to come and bring all things to our remembrance just as we need them to give to others as well. An example of a God-driven life, a God-controlled life in sinful human beings. Bless our brothers and sisters in preparing for bed or other activities as well. And as the camp meeting comes closer, in the Philippines on the 31st of July, that brothers and sisters are blessed with such meetings like these to go away so refreshed and just preparing for it, that they're really uplifted in doing so to encourage one another in their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit and believing all things that are available to all of us. All that we need, right now as we need them. And nothing we don't need or will be for our harm, we don't need it now. And you'll see to it that we'll be brought through and keep that which we've committed to you to the end. Thank you for the promises of God. Thank you for the Sabbath to look forward to soon. Help us keep it by what that fourth commandment along with 6 days work, doing all our work and labor in the Spirit of Christ. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, are there any last thoughts before we get someone to sing us away? Any last things anyone would like to share?
Thank you for your continued prayers regarding getting the website online. There has been some progress in a different area, not with the current web host, but with a different one. And some things have begun to point to the new host, not the one we currently have that still hasn't got the website up. And it's been, well, June 15 is when they received the transfer and should have had the website up the next day. So we're 35 days later. they still haven't complied with the purchase of their program. So we're trying a different web host. And Lord willing, they'll be able to get the site online. Yeah, they should reimburse, especially since, well, they got True Church on, but they haven't got Light Ministry. So they halfway complied, but not fully. But anyway, we're hoping that this new web host will be successful in getting the site online. And then we can cancel our subscription to this other web host, at least on the Light Ministries, and see what kind of reimbursement we can get on that issue. So thank you for your continued prayers. And it's, as I mentioned, that we can leave the burden at Christ's feet. You know, it's his website. So he'll get it up and running, you know, if we do everything we can to achieve that, he'll then take over what we can't do. And, we'll have, the truth going out 24/7 once again, Lord willing. So thank you for your prayer.
I heard from Brother Dick. He said that he totally forgot about the meeting, and that they were sitting around the table testing watermelon and discussing the sanctuary service and the witnesses and Revelation. So I said, okay, we haven't sung the last song yet, so we're still in the room. So if he wanted to come in, so.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for doing that, Sister Michelle. Yeah. And amen. Still a profitable time. Absolutely. Sounds it. And thanks for the update, bro. One step closer And it's really good that at least you've got some presence. I mean, you've got the YouTube channel and you've got the God's True Church website, which was up pretty much straight away, which is great. Sounds like they just don't like all the, you must have a lot of big files that they, who knows? God knows. And we, I mean that God knows. And, we can rest assured him knowing that that's good news for us because he knows. And as we're not seeking to be his enemy, but receiving his friendship and his love toward us, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Revelation 17:14 says, for they are called, and then they're chosen, and then they're faithful by the grace of God. Well, there is no sign of Brother Dick, but we could all sing it together to keep looking up. We might need some pointers and a cloud or two to remind us of those good old days. We'll have memories of Brother Dick. No, hopefully he'll be doing it on Sabbath. But would anyone like to sing it? Would the sisters like to sing? Brother Bob like to sing it? It's been a privilege to be with you all today, and may we meet again soon, Sabbath.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.